Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Hey, hey, welcome, welcome. This is Marty, and we are going to have a great show right now. We're going to be talking to Amy Bauman about growing your ministry one God idea at a time. We're going to talk about understanding your calling, creating space to listen to God, grasping faith as an action verb, also implementing God-sized ideas, praying as a non-negotiable, giving yourself grace when mistakes happen, connecting or staying consistent as you go forward, and clarifying your true audience. Amy is a great one to talk about this. She went from ministry of zero, all of us start at zero, all the way up to 650,000 in her Facebook group, and she is a chaplain, international speaker, teacher, author, and founder of For His Glory Ministry. Her passion is encouraging others to know who they are in Jesus Christ. Her website is amybauman.com. And also, she is available to speak for you at womenspeakers.com. Welcome, Amy.
Marty.
So great to be together. Hi, hi. So you and I got to meet for the first time face-to-face at the Well Conference this spring, and it's such a joy to meet you in person after knowing you online.
You are even more beautiful in person, my friend, than you are in your images. I loved finally meeting you in person and connecting with you. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me today.
You bet. My joy, my joy. And you know what? That's one of the things that I keep as I go places, or like I was in Africa with a speaker from Australia who I'd known for over a decade online, never met face-to-face until we met in Africa to speak at some conferences. And at the end of our week together, I said to her, I said, so how am I compared to what you expected? Like, am I what you expected? And she said, exactly.
Exactly.
You know what? And I think there's some real value to just being very congruent, to not trying to be bigger than you are, not trying to be somebody you aren't, not trying to be somebody you want to become, or just be who God created you to be. And then when people encounter you face to face, it's what they expected. Amen. Or, you know, just like with you too, you know, it's almost better than you expected. You know, you had this idea of a person, and then you get to meet them, and then you have the fullness of, it's the same, you know, in prayer, we have a limited capacity with God now compared to when we're in heaven, right?
Yes.
We'll have His whole fullness there. And here we have this taste of it, and it's even going to be better than we expected.
Even better. I think of it too as sisters in the spirit, right?
Yes.
We can't
yes.
see everything, but we can feel it, and we can have that connection. So right. I just love you. Thank you so much for having me.
Right back at you. Well, I'm so grateful that you're here, and we are excited to share with you guys who are trying to grow a ministry to just give some, you know, Amy, your ministry has grown so big. And when you start, you know, you were telling me before we came on air that God put a vision or a mission in your heart that you would be to the nations. What was it?
That I would need to have enough grace for the world.
Grace for the world.
Yes.
That's just such a big vision, right? And God had put in my heart, be a mentor to millions. And it's like, whoa, how do you begin to go there, right?
Yes.
Because when those, it's like little Joseph, and he's going to have all of his brothers and dad bow down. How do you begin to go there? But it's faithfulness one step at a time.
That's right. One step at a time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let's dive in, because you've got great stuff to share with us.
I'm excited.
So we're going to talk first about the importance of understanding your calling.
So my original calling was in 2017, when God called me to Israel. And I had this amazing opportunity to walk in Israel, to walk the text. And it was there on the top of the Maktesh Ramon, kind of looking down at everything, that God said, it's time to tell your story and tell it to the world.
Wow.
And I had no idea what that looked like. So I came home. I just started doing this online on Facebook, posting every single day these little devotions or these little things that would encourage people, sharing a bit about my story. And God has grown that, as you talked about, zero followers all the way up. We're actually up to almost 655,000 followers all over the world. Where that was just started with that stepping out in faith and obedience to God. And what I love about God, though, is we can hear that, right? Okay, I want you to go home and tell your story. well, what does that look like? Right. And so I really had to kind of lean in and decipher what that meant. And I think the biggest thing for me was in 2020, when everything changed, that we all had a lot of time to really listen to what God was saying to us. And it was then in 2020, you know, so many years after, that he kind of refined that and really showed me what that was going to look like. And it was more about ministry and preaching and teaching than it was about being an author or a speaker. And so I love how God kind of refined that and changed that for me.
Right. And he does get really specific as we walk forward. You know, it's the whole big world of things. What should I do? Yes. You know, but he gets very specific with us. And even 2020 was such a year of growth for me as well, because I'd had my schedules, you know, here's what I do every day, kind of, and these are how I get the projects done and like that. And then everything shut down. And I just started every day like, okay, what are we doing today? And it was really beautiful, right? I mean, there's this beauty to just allowing God, not allowing him to, but being open to being flexible with God and just saying, okay, I know that there are all these things I could be doing, but what do you want to do with me today?
I think allowing is a good word. I think that when you said that, because I think sometimes we get an idea of what it's supposed to look like in our own head. And I had just was launching a national conference, Finding Joy Again. And so I was doing all of that and getting ready to launch. And when everything shut down, it was then where it was like, okay, I thought I heard you right. What is it going to look like now? And so when we allow God to come in and maybe change what we originally had thought of, or realign our eyes, our focus on Jesus and what he wants, we really have to allow God to do that.
Yeah. Work and move. Mm-hmm. And it's such a privilege, right? I mean, it's just such a privilege. When you say, okay, we're going to talk about this later about the audience. So I think we'll move on now. I was going to jump ahead of ourselves here. We're talking about this right now, creating space to listen to God. So what are some of the things that you do to create this space?
Well, I think in 2020, when that happened, we all had a lot more time, right, to create space, because I think for a long time, we just did our own thing. We had our own schedules. We were very busy. And when everything shut down, for me, that's when that space changed. Yeah. And I really created more time to be with God and in God's word. So creating space is actually making sure you're choosing every day when you get up in the morning, when you're going to start your day, that you're going to spend time with God. And for me, the mornings are the best. That's being in his word. That's listening. That's praying. That's allowing him to speak to my heart so that I have what I need for the next steps, for sure. Mm-hmm. But we have to create that space.
Yeah. One of the things I do is I keep a little timer when I'm working at my desk. I keep a little timer next to me and I set it for 20 minutes. And as now, obviously, it's not going to go off while we're live. You know, I mean, there's times when I can't do it, clearly.
Right.
But when I'm just working on projects, behind the scenes stuff, I set it for 20 minutes. And when that timer goes off, I just say, hi, God, or thanks, God, or am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is there anything you want to tell me or whatever? And it's just it's been such a beautiful way to bring God into my conscious, you know, he's always here with me, but bringing him into my conscious awareness more frequently. And it's amazing how many times when that 20-minute timer goes off, he'll just say, stop and do this. It's like he really does want to direct us moment by moment. A lot of times it's just, yeah, keep going, you're good, you know, and other times it's no, you really need to focus on this other thing right now, switch gears. And it's just been, and that's been since 2020 as well. Just, I loved 2020 in that there was so much more time to actually connect like that and to listen. And it just developed that more in me than it ever had been before. And it wasn't like we weren't listening before, right? We were, but not at the same level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which makes me think of this. So a couple of weeks ago, I incorporated something new. So I'm going to be 52 here soon. And I had never really experienced true fasting from something that I really enjoy. And so there was a really big decision that we're right now in the process of making for the ministry. And I fasted. And I, that was an extra step of giving up something that I love, that I feel like my flesh needs, offering that up to God. And that was me creating space to be even more intentional and listening, truly listening to what he had for us. And he continues to reveal, he continues to open that door as we walk through. But that's another way to really be intentional and create a space is to fast.
Yeah. One of the things I just released was this 7-day praise challenge. This is where you actually fast from praying, from begging, asking, or bossing for a day at a time, or 3 or 4 days at a time, or 7 whole days at a time, in order to increase your focus on God's sovereignty and the goodness of God. And you just fast. So today is a prayer fast day for me, where I'm only praising today. And it's interesting because just hours ago, I had looked at womenspeakers.com, which is a site that I manage and own. And it's all blown up. It's like something changed. And one of the other major sites I went to, their site's having trouble too. So something changed in the big world of computing. They made a change that changed everything, and all of our custom coding gets blown up. And I remember when I looked at that this morning, I wanted to say, oh God, please, 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 please put this site back up. Please, 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 you know, as fast as possible. And especially I need it for this afternoon, because I've got people having meetings with me at the site this afternoon, you know, so please. And I wanted to do that, but instead, because I'm fasting from begging today and bossing. So today I'm just saying, thank you, God, that the site's going to be up when it's supposed to be up. And that if it's not up for the meetings this afternoon, it's because you want us to talk about something else. And you've got this and you're in control. You know, and it is when we fast from what we're used to doing, we go to a whole new level of connection, of faith, just trusting God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you like to call faith an action verb.
I do. I really learned about that actually a couple of years ago, that faith is an action word. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able, true faith is stepping out and believing before you receive it. And that's a really challenging thing, that the word tells us that. It's a really challenging thing because we love to see. Oh yeah, I can see it. I'm just going to grab onto it right now. But when you're in ministry, there's so many times that the Lord is asking you to take a step of faith before we can actually fully see what it's going to look like. And so faith is an action word, because we need to step out and follow where God is leading us, no matter whether or not we can see the end, whether we can even see the next step. And so I've really been working on that, being able to step out and take that step of faith, trusting in God, and that he's going to catch me when I land.
Yeah. It was interesting just this morning. I was thinking about, so God has put this vision in my mind for the next steps with womenspeakers.com and having the site down, you know, and I had a deadline of June 30th for a certain thing, and having the site down today, like, freaked out my plan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Intentionally, right? Because my plan is nothing. My plan is to say yes to Jesus every time. That's my real plan. And to remind me, you know, that I don't even have to do anything except just to say yes to Jesus. That's the whole thing. But saying yes to Jesus takes courage and it takes faith. And we've got to act on that faith, you know?
Amen.
I'm not going to go running around like a chicken with my head cut off, seeing how fast I can fix this in order to be able to reach the goal by the 30th that I believe God put in my heart.
That's right.
You know,
I want to add this though too. Yeah, so when we're having faith, right, we're also praying. I find that I do a lot more rebuking the enemy who's coming in to try and distract or detour or you know, mess up our plans, because he doesn't want us to continue to step forward. He doesn't want us to grow the ministry. He doesn't want to do God's work. Jesus came to demolish the works of the enemy. So we need to be rebuking. So a lot of times, maybe behind the scenes, we're stepping out in faith, but we're praying, but we're rebuking, but we're fighting in the spirit. We're doing all those things. So there's definitely a lot of action.
There is a lot of action.
A lot of action.
And a lot of it is active waiting, right? The act of waiting, where I'm just saying, I trust you, 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 I trust you. Yes. And I have a friend who gets up every morning and she says, Satan's about to have a very bad day, which I just love that. I love that position where you just know that today, if by following Jesus fully today, by saying yes to him every single time, I'm just going to really muck things up for the enemy's plans for my day.
That's right.
But I'm going to be right on track with what God has for the day.
And I love that too. You're saying actively waiting, because God is always working and moving, yes, even when sometimes he's asking us to sit and wait so that he can kind of prepare the next steps for us. So yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. And I always say I'd be more faithful if it didn't feel so irresponsible. I think you maybe knew about this. A bunch of people knew that I had been sick, and then I had laryngitis, and I was going into this big speaking trip. I was going to speak 6 times and do a concert, which takes a lot of vocal energy, plus all the conversations. And going into it, it was really, basically, if I would have been being responsible, I would have called the planner. I would have had a fallback plan. But every time I asked God about that, and I did ask him 3 times on both of those counts, he said, no, trust me. And I had to just walk forward by faith, looking to myself irresponsible. Like I had to own that. Okay, I'm going to feel like I'm not being responsible. If I was responsible, I would call the planner and I would say, I still don't have a voice. I sound like a frog. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this concert unless it's a miracle. I would have done that, except for one thing, is that God kept telling me, no, no, no. No, just trust, just trust. So sometimes faith, you have to go beyond what you would typically do. Like, I'm such a responsible person and I would never leave somebody hanging intentionally, right, you know, but God came through and did a complete miracle. Even right before my concert, I was sitting at the banquet and crazy with a table, and I was coughing and coughing and coughing. And I was supposed to go up and sing song after song after song in just a minute. And I just said to my table of 8 ladies, me and 7 ladies, I said, because you're at my table, you're my prayer team. I need you to pray right now. They prayed for me right then. I went up, and you know, I never coughed. I never sneezed. I never sniffled. I just got through the whole concert. And then afterwards, there was coughing going on again. But God does come through. And you know, even if he hadn't, it would have been different because we hadn't planned something in advance.
Yes.
The result would have been different just by my obedience, and it would have been what he wanted. And so we can't say my faithfulness requires him to heal me and do a miracle then. That's not true. Jesus even said before the cross, boy, if there's any other way, let's do it a different way.
That's right.
But then he submitted to God's way. And so, you know, that's our example there.
Yes. And I love what you said though, right? He told you no 3 times. So when he calls you, right, and even though in our own eyes, I don't know how you're going to do this, he will equip you. And he equipped you in that moment. And so much of ministry is about that. He's going to equip you in that exact moment that you need him, despite what it looks like with your physical eyes.
Right. And I mean, the benefit, we all receive the benefit of me having been prayed for additionally. Like, I was just talking to a gal this morning and she said, oh, I always pray for you when you speak, you know, but this time she said, I can't believe how much I was praying for you. I was just praying for you so much more because I knew you needed this miracle. And God showed up that much bigger than usual because of the extra prayer cover, you know, so he's always going to turn something that looks bad into something that's just powerful God size. And in fact, we want to talk about that next. This growth that you have experienced in just, 4 years, 5 years, incredible, fast growth. Yes. And when you get God, so first I want you to just be real authentic with us here. How does God give you a God-sized idea? Like, do you hear a voice? Does it come through a friend? Is it just journaled out by your pen? Or how do you hear your next steps?
In the shower, mostly.
Me too. I love
that. Is like the best time to be listening to him. And then I'm like, really? You want me to do that? All right. Well, all right. I guess I'll do that. I think in the shower, sometimes walking.
Can I tell you, I think, okay. So the vision for womenspeakers.com came to me in the shower too.
There you go.
And I really feel like, and over the years too, I've been so surprised about that shower thing, but I think naked and bare, you know, that's really the shower. You are standing there with nothing else. You are just naked and bare, and you're just in a real vulnerable, really a vulnerable state, right?
I never thought about it like that before, but you're right. You're exactly the way he created you.
He, right.
and nothing more, yeah. nothing less. And it's the perfect time to talk.
Yeah. And you're right. I actually just want to talk to you about what I'm going to do now.
Just one thing here. Let me tell you what I want you to do. And you're like,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So I think, okay. So while I think you're the shower, walking, for one, yeah. sounds like I'm not the only one. Definitely in prayer time. I think when I'm one-on-one, sometimes on my knees or on the floor, I have a prayer closet. We don't have a lot of closet space in our house. And so this is like a 3x4.5 square foot area that is like precious to me, because that's where I can be with God. And I'll get these images of things that he wants to show me, or ways that he wants me to change. But I think it's in prayer. It's when we're listening that he can speak to our hearts and give us these big and small dreams for us to carry out.
I want us to address this a little bit deeper, because people ask me this out all the time. And even last night at Bible study, a gal that I just love, and she just loves Jesus so much, she just verbalized, but I just don't know how to tell if it's him.
Oh,
and this really is a burden for a lot of Christians. They're too scared. So let me just share kind of what I understand, and then I'd like you to respond to this as well, Amy.
Sure.
So what I understand is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I am his temple. He lives in here. Yeah. I can open and close the flow of his activity in my life with sin. All I have to do is just sin, and that really shuts him down a lot. He keeps him inside of me, not flowing through me out to the world, not flowing into my brain so much. If I shut him down, he kind of goes with that choice on my part to say, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to obey you. I want to quench you. I want to shut you down, right? Okay, so that's a choice I have. If I am open to him, though, then my mind is open to him. And he will impress thoughts on my mind or on my heart. And I hear these oftentimes as if it's my own voice. I don't hear a booming voice of God when he speaks to me. I just have an impression or I have an understanding, or I hear it almost in my own voice. And then the question is, how do I decipher whether that's God, me, or Satan, right? Because sounds are coming in from the outside as well.
Right.
And so at those moments, I just say, you know, basically, as I was learning to listen, I would just say, okay, first of all, is that what I was just thinking? And typically it isn't. And then secondly, does it align with what God has taught me about himself in scripture? And if it doesn't, then I know, okay, back up, hang on. I need some fleece here then before I'm ever going to take a step forward. But if it aligns with scripture, and if the thought came randomly, like the day for me, womenspeakers.com, I mean, I was just taking a shower and I saw a blue clickable map in my head. And I'm like, what is this doing here?
Wow.
Why is this in my head? Right. And so when stuff like that happens, then to just say, God, is this you? I want to hear more. Tell me more. What's going on? You know, so let's have you just share kind of how you hear from God. I think it's important for our listeners to understand it isn't necessarily going to be a big booming voice.
No. A lot of times, like you're saying, it is that quiet, still voice that we hear that we need to like, okay, was that what you really said? Is that what I just heard you say, Lord? Is that what you want me to do? I liked what you said about this relationship with the Holy Spirit and that we're choosing. And I think we have to remember that as a relationship, and that we are cooperating with God. Yes. And that's the biggest thing. And I think sometimes people miss out on that, is that this is a cooperation. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants it to be two-sided. And so there has to be that active listening that we're doing, and also speaking out. The other thing I realize is that there are some times where this big decision that we think that the Lord wants us to make, what are we filled with? Are we filled with peace, or are we filled with fear? And so fear comes from the enemy. And so if we can be navigating forward, listening, talking, following the peace, every single time the Lord is going to bring us through those doorways, because that's what we need to follow, is that peace. And so some of the big decisions that I've made, and I've, you know, I look at all the angles and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know. This isn't human. This is, this can't be happening. For an example, I quit my job of 12 years in a corporate world, making really good money in a 401k and all these wonderful things, to step into full-time ministry where there was no 401k and no regular paycheck. And in the human terms, you know, people would say you're crazy.
Right.
And some people did. But I had the most supernatural peace,
right,
knowing that this was the next step I was supposed to take. And right, when God originally told that to me, it was actually 3 years before I made the decision. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't, it's not an easy button. It's not an instantaneous decision. It's right, you keep following that peace and you keep following God, and he will lay it all out for you. But it's, you're being active, you're cooperating with him,
right?
You're working with him every step of the way.
I love what you just said. And one of the things that really comforts me about this process, like he'll put an idea here, but we won't see fruition for a while, or won't even start on it really for a while, it looks like. But he, I always say, you knew what you got when you were getting me, you know, I mean, it's like,
amen, sister.
So, you know, he knows how long it's going to take me to take action.
Yeah.
And so he's seeding this way in advance, and like a seed, it grows, and maybe you don't see it for a while. And then all of a sudden, boom, huge growth, you know, like that. So I really feel like the other thing I wanted to talk about for just a minute was this peace, P-E-A-C-E, because our souls, our hearts can be at peace while our subconscious minds are going crazy.
Yes.
Like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You know, your brain, God has made this homeostasis to keep us alive. And yes, when we slip, our hands go out. And when we are cold, we get goosebumps. And when we're hot, we sweat. And these things are just happening, and blinking and heart beating and all that just happening. And your subconscious mind is really busy trying to keep you safe from anything it feels like maybe unsafe. Yes. And so it's okay to actually have concerns in here while your heart is at peace. And it's completely normal, actually. And you just keep running that back to Jesus. Speak truth to me. Speak truth to me. And, you know, like, okay, website down today. Speak truth to me. I've got it. It'll come up at the moment it's supposed to come up. It's not a problem. It feels like a problem. It feels irresponsible. It looks bad. It's embarrassing. Whatever.
Right.
God is in control.
Amen. And I think that, I've always heard, even from my own mentors, is that we need to follow the peace. And when I think about peace, I think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. I think of shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken, which was God's original design for the world. And so when we can reflect on that, when we can focus on his peace, it really does put everything into perspective.
Yep.
It kind of calms everything down.
Absolutely.
And again, it's that one step at a time, one day at a time.
Trusting
in him, because, you know, I'm a doer. I mean, 12 years in corporate world, I'm a doer. I see your hand. Yeah. We're doers, right?
I see that, like,
okay, give me a list and a little pencil, and I'm going to check off all those things. I'm very task oriented, which is a blessing sometimes, but it's also, I feel like God is more often pulling back the reins on me. It's like, oh, I can do that. Yeah. Let me do this and orchestrate that and do this and do this. And he's like, wait, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you to do. I want you to do it this way. And who knows how long it will take. So following the peace is also, we have to follow the timing that God has for us, and do that one step at a time, not running too far ahead, constantly listening, cooperating with God.
So prayer is a non-negotiable. We want to just spend a minute here. You know, I love that there are four kinds of loves, and three kinds of loves can be done just with human effort. And it talks, you know, there's eros and storge and phileo, but then there's the kind of love that can only be done with God, and that's agape. Mm. So when we think about 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, you could even sell all your goods and give your money to the poor. And you know what? That can be done without God at all, without even believing that there is a God. And it feeds the poor. wonderful. It's as good as it is. But yeah. if you want it to go with you into eternity, if you want it to be some of that gold, silver, and precious jewels that make it through the fire, bring us into eternity there, not salvation, but the other fire that shows what kind of works have been done through ourselves. We want Jesus to be flowing that through us. We want God to be doing that through us, not us doing it for God, but Him doing it through us for Him. And that's where the prayer really, to me, no prayer, no power.
That's right. That's right. We need to, again, we go back to that cooperating with God. And I think for me, prayer became such a bigger thing. I wrote a book last year called The Hidden Door, and it's really understanding prayer and that it's not just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, or God is great, God is good, or, oh Lord, could you please give me this new car? There's not just three types of prayers. There's this, it's communication. Right. Prayer is opening up your mouth and believing that God's word is God's will and ushering that into our lives. And so prayer has to be this conversation that you're having with God where it's two-sided. We're praying to Him and we're listening to Him talk back to us. And so prayer has really taken on this huge dynamic for the ministry, for my life, having a better understanding of what prayer is. And also knowing that when we come together, we talked about this a little bit before the program, this community, brothers and sisters in Christ, standing in the gap for one another, praying for each other, ushering in your whole table of ladies praying for you before you went up and sang. We're all coming together and praying to God and believing that His promises are true. And that can transform any ministry, any relationship. And I think for me, that was something new that we added this year, is I now have a prayer team of seven, right, of completeness. I send them off an email the beginning of the month. I give them my schedule, where I'm going to be speaking, who I'm going to be talking to, what we're going to be doing as a ministry, so that those people can stand with me and pray for me and pray for the ministry. And that has been huge since we've implemented that. And I would strongly encourage people to do the same.
Yeah. I have three very close prayer warriors that I connect with every morning, and they pray for me and I pray for them. And, you know, this is, it's such a beautiful thing. And it's really critical. If you think really that God has called you to do something, then I can promise you that you need Him to do it. If He's calling you to a big vision, which is what this interview is about. Simply, it's too big for you. You're not going to be able to do it without Him. So the sooner you get, the sooner you get this in your head and in your heart, the better off you'll be. Just go straight to Him all the time.
Straight to Him, for sure.
With every question, every concern. Yeah. I want to talk about grace just a minute. I always say, I can't live without grace. And when grace is absent, whether it's grace for yourself or grace for others or grace to you from others, it's really painful. A life without grace is just a really harsh life.
Yes, it is. I think in all of my books, I especially the workbooks, I try and touch upon that grace over guilt. Yes. The enemy is going to want you to stay stuck. He's not going to want you to go forward. If you have this imagery of like you're stuck on the side of the road in your car with a hood up, smoke's rolling out of it, and that's where you're at. He doesn't want you to go forward. He doesn't want you to go into everything that the Lord has for you. He wants you stuck on the side of the road, broken down, filled with whatever you're going through. And for a lot of us, that's guilt. Guilt over past mistakes, woulda, coulda, shouldas. The Lord finally told me, the woulda, coulda, shouldas are gone. This was after 2020 and all of that. He's like, we can't go back. We can only go forward. And so I think receiving is one of the biggest things that we struggle with. Yes. The gift is there. The forgiveness is there. The love is there. The everlasting life is there. The promises are there. But we have a hard time receiving. Right. And so I like to encourage people that we just have to open up our hand and receive. And that the grace is big enough. It's big enough to cover any guilt or shame or past experience that you've had, and that the Lord wants you to return. And every morning, you know, his mercies are new each morning. We have an opportunity to return back to that path. And I think that's the biggest thing I've learned, is that I've made mistakes. I've done things that, oh, I can't believe I did that. I've said things, you know, but God loves me. He forgives me. And I just need to return to the path.
Right, right. And it's always just one step back. It's always, I always say, Jesus is right here with you. It's one thought away. He's right here. Just bring him into your conscious awareness. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that I just continually work on is I know that he's with me and I have that confidence always. And if I get distracted or whatever, it's fine. He's not put out, just like my husband isn't put out. If I'm in here talking to you, Amy, he's not like, well, you weren't with me that second. You know, I am, I'm still here for him, you know, just not talking to him right this second. So God's fine with that. But when you feel like you're losing your peace, or you feel like something stressful is coming, or you're even really excited about something, those are calls to just check in with Jesus again. Yes. And he is the most gracious and loving, and he wants our junk. I always say he's the only one that can handle my junk, but he wants it. And sometimes I just even like collect all these horrible thoughts I'm having, or this really brutal attack, or whatever it was. I just collect them all together and I just give them to him like it's a present, almost like with a bow on it. And I would never do that to any other human, but God actually gets excited when we give him our junk. He loves it because his shoulders are broad enough. He's already paid for it. It's done. And what he comes back with is so gracious. He never is like, oh, you're so hideous. You're so wicked. You're so slovenly, whatever it is. He always comes back with, oh, precious, thanks for coming to me. Just like you would with a 4-year-old who got a boo-boo. I mean, honestly.
He kind of scoops you up and brings you in his arms.
Absolutely.
And let's look at that right now. Let's take care of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so beautiful. And it's just available all the time for us if we will, like you say, if we will open up for it. We're coming to the end here. We have two more to get through. I want to talk about staying consistent. Consistency is huge. To make a decision. Lots of times you need to make small decisions at a time, maybe not take on the whole world and try to be consistent with that. What are a couple things that you've really found critical in consistency?
For one, the commission of the ministry, right? We always want to stay. God gave us that commission, so we want to be consistent with our messaging. I think that's really important, that we show that side of God to everyone that we're involved in. So consistency in our message, consistency with everything that we're doing. I kind of think of it as this excellence that I want to carry for God. I want to show people God's excellence and who he is through what we're doing. So I always try to make sure that my message is consistent. Yeah. One of the things that's, I guess you would call it my tagline, is speaking truth with love. And so I'm always want to make sure I'm consistent in speaking God's truth, not Amy's truth, not the Bauman's truth, but God's truth, and speaking it with love. Mm-hmm. I also stay consistent just in who I am and who he is creating me to be.
Right.
And so we can, this happens. And these are one of those things that we can get caught up in the guilt. We can get caught up in the world and what the world says and what this person says and what are my numbers like today? How many people liked my post? And how many people read this book?
Right.
I mean, we can get caught up in all of that. Yeah. My consistent thing is that the race that I'm running is for God and not for the accolades of man. Right. And so I need to be consistently moving forward, trusting and believing in him, working for an audience of one.
Yeah, I love audience of one. That's me too. And in 2022 now, my motto for the year is saying yes to God every single time. I've got a big poster with it on it, and I've got
That's
it everywhere.
A great motto.
It is a great motto. And you know what? I thought I was saying yes to God every single time my whole life, but bringing this into a consistent daily, multiple times a day remembrance of it has really taken it to a whole new level. And I find that sometimes when I don't know what to do, I just say, like, if I get a piece of mail that's disturbing or whatever, I just say, where's my yes here? I just want to say yes to you. And, you know, it just has really changed my level of joy, because I have this just boom, there's always a yes to God in every situation. And sometimes it's not, we wouldn't have ever thought of it if we hadn't just checked in. So I've really loved that. We just mentioned yes to an audience of one, and that's truly our true audience.
It is. It is. I think that's where I have to come back to every single time is, and when you say yes, right, you're really saying yes to God, even when you're, if you're working with difficult people or in crazy situations or you're having struggles, our yes needs to be to God. We need to be faithful and obedient to Him. And remembering that He's the one, right, that's called us, that's given us this commission, whatever ministry that you're doing, He needs to be our audience. We need to be making sure we're making Him happy and delighted in us. Right. And that's an everyday, one step at a time, moving forward, grace over guilt, you know, listening, praying, you know, all of those things rolled into one. We got to remember who we're doing this for. We're doing it for God.
Right. And it also helps so much when you have arrows coming at you, to just know that I don't need to actually solve an arrow. I need to ask God, am I on track with you?
Yes.
And, you know, I always say success from God's perspective is His well done, my good and faithful servant. That's success from God's perspective. And I can check in on that any minute of any day.
Right.
Is this what you want me to be doing right now? And He's like, yes, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, so I think, you know, I think it's so fun that we can actually incorporate this into our daily lives. We don't have to wait till we die to get that. We can have that every single day. And even if someone else is displeased with me today, if I'm okay with God, I'm okay.
That's right. That's right. If we're consistently doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is loving people, serving people, doing the things that He's asked us to do, then it'll all work out in the end, for sure.
It will. And it's such a joyful life. And, you know, it's a lot of work, right? It's not that we're sitting around just letting God do it all. We actually get out of bed in the morning. We get dressed. We go.
We put our pants on. We go to work. We do what we have to do.
But then God flows through us, and it's just such a joyful way to live. Amy, so first of all, you guys want to go? This went so fast. You guys want to go check out her website, amybauman.com. When they get there, what are they going to find?
Oh, my word. We've got online daily devotionals. We've got all the information about our ministry. We have a store. We have all the ways that you can connect with us on media, including the For His Glory Ministry app, which you can download to your phone.
So cool.
Or your tablet. God has just done amazing things. But everything, you can find it at amybauman.com.
Oh, that's great. Your books are there, your programs that you do, your podcasts, all kinds of great stuff. You really need to go check it out, you guys. And Amy, I just want to give you a big digital hug here, as well as tell you thank you for being here. What joy.
Marnie, thank you so much for having me. As always, I love you. You're beautiful. And I'm just so glad that God brought you into my life.
Ditto that. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. So fun to have you here. And I hope that you will visit Amy's site, amybauman.com, as well as my site, marnie.com. And we look forward to seeing you around the web. Also, Amy is available to speak at your events. You can learn about her over at womenspeakers.com. So thanks very much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful day. See you next time. Bye-bye.